You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast. Welcome back. If you're new to the podcast, we have quite a few new subscribers lately. So welcome and thank you so much for joining me on the anime journey, and especially the kind of new YouTube focus, a lot of new engagement over there. So thank you so much for everyone that's checking us out over on YouTube. Thank you so much. And obviously, big welcome to all the audio only listeners as well. This one is an episode that's kind of been inspired by my recent watch list. We'll go through the actual bucket list challenge update very soon, but this episode is all about the history of mecha anime. So recently I started watching Neon Genesis Evangelion, and it's one of the most loved and kind of iconic anime franchises ever, and it is part of that mecha and robot kind of genre of anime that's immensely popular. And mecha is a genre that I very, very rarely ever actually dive into, if I'm honest, but Neon Genesis maybe the very first one in this genre that I've properly watched, or at least the first one that I've watched that properly fits that vibe or fits that genre. But I do know that the genre for mecha and giant robots is so popular, not only here in the West, but it's super popular in Japan as well. Like, they have the Mobile Suit Gundam giant, like, robot replica and everything. And then there's the giant staff from Neon Genesis Evangelion as well that does light up red. And there's so many other forms of media that kind of focus on that kind of vibe. And it's kind of made me think, where did it get its roots? And it's been a while. It's been a hot minute. It's been a while since I've done a history of episode. So I thought, what a better chance than now, as I'm kind of diving into Neon Genesis and properly appreciating the mecha genre that I've never dived into before, because I honestly didn't think it'd be anything I'd be interested in. I'm going to hold my hands up, and I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And I feel like every time I dive into a genre, I did it with the sports one. I didn't watch sports anime. As soon as I watched Blue Lock, I was wrong, and it's an awesome anime. And there's some more sports anime on the bucket list, and there's more mecha anime on the bucket list as well for me to check out. So I do need to build this up a little bit further, but before we dive into the history of mecha in manga and anime, let's do a bucket list update and let's go through what progress I've made this week on the bucket list. So the bucket list update this week. So this week I've made some steady movement. So this week I hit the One Piece milestone. I finally hit episode 1000 of the anime. It's finally happened. And right now I'm on episode 1001. So super, super happy to have finally kind of made that jump, made that kind of achievement, I guess. You don't get a badge or anything, I wish you did. But I'm so glad to have finally hit episode 1000. That feels like a great little achievement now. So my current obsession with One Piece is Yamato. I did get the new Funko Pop. She's on the shelf just there behind me if you're watching this on YouTube. And I am in love with her kind of vibe and character design from the show. So super, super excited to see more of Yamato and see how she kind of develops. I know some spoilers because of social media, and it's so hard to not see spoilers nowadays because of social media. But she's become one of my like fast favourites of the show. So I had to get the Funko Pop. It did come out on Funko Europe a little while ago, and I didn't buy it. I was like, no, I'm going to save money. I need to save some money. So I didn't get them, and it sold out. And I immediately regretted not buying it, because that happens every time. Every time I don't get the Funko Pop, I regret it straight away. So this time I decided not to and go straight away and buy it. So super, super happy about that. So there are some videos of her over on my Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube Shorts, all that good stuff. So if you want to see more kind of anime content based on that, like Funko Pops, things like that, there are some more out floating around there. So do make sure you check those out. But I also got Naruto over to 126. Slower progress on that one. For some reason, I seem to have dropped the ball a little bit on Naruto. And I desperately need to pick it back up. I'm not too far off having the main original series of Naruto done. It's only got 200 episodes, so I can do this and I can finish that. I really want to get that finished. But right now, as I've said, I am on with Neon Genesis Evangelion. That's the whole reason why we're doing this video. And right now I'm on episode 15, about to start episode 15. So about just over halfway through, or roughly halfway through. So it's awesome so far. I have to say, it's got that, when you think of like 90s anime and that 90s kind of nostalgic feel for anime, this is exactly the type of anime that you think of. It's got that kind of graininess, that hand-drawn kind of quality to it. Honestly, it is glorious. I knew the vibe of Evangelion, and like I say, because it was a mecha anime, I never really dived into it as a kid, and I never dived into it as an adult either until now. And it's so good. Graphically, it's really cool. It's got all that kind of like old 80s kind of technology in it, and it's so scientific and sci-fi. Oh, I fall in love with Evangelion. So the actual movie that comes after the series is on the bucket list as well. So I think as soon as I finish this one, I've got about, 4 hours left of watching the series. And then it's about 1.5 hours for the movie. So I think I will dive into that more or less straight after. They're right next to each other on the bucket list. So it'll be super, super satisfying to see those two scratched off. So small movements, and I got a lot of recommendations come in from like Threads and Instagram, things like that. So thank you so much for everyone's recommendations. It is really, really great to see, kind of have a bit of a guide to see which ones on the bucket list I should be doing. So yeah, great. I think I do need to come up with some kind of tactic though for the bucket list, because if you're watching this on YouTube, you can kind of see how kind of spotty it is. I'm just going off what I kind of fancy watching at that moment, but I don't know if I need to try and start going across in the lines, getting a little bit more organised with it, try and get the pattern going a little bit more. But anyway, enough of a bucket list update. Steady movement, and hopefully next week I'll have finished Neon Genesis. I'll finish the movie for Neon Genesis. Maybe got Naruto to maybe like a 150 or 175 kind of mark. That would be really, really great. But you know, I've got stuff to do. So I need stuff that's easy to watch in the background as well. And when they're kind of really kind of in depth and really want to get into the story, it's real hard to do anything on the side as well. So you know how it is. But let's have a tiny, tiny break, and then we'll dive into the history of mecha anime. Hello everyone, I just thought I'd pop in here real quick just to tell you all about Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll is my favourite platform to stream all the anime that I watch, including Naruto, One Piece, Attack on Titan, Black Clover, and a whole host more, all of which I'm probably talking about in this episode. Down in the show notes and in the description, you'll find a link to start a free trial, where you'll be able to browse a whole host of thousands of anime to discover and love. So the mecha genre for anime and manga, I guess, kind of has its roots in Japanese fiction since 1940s, 50s. That kind of after wartime. And in the 1950s and 60s, Yokoyama's Tetsujin 28-Go, known as Gigantor, and Tezuka's Astro Boy, those were the ones that really popularized the concept of giant robots, or giant robots that can either be alien or man-made, in kind of that mix in Japanese pop culture. And it kind of went from strength to strength from those kind of most popular eras from its kind of formation. But the history of robots in Japan in general in media can be traced much further back to World War II, starting out as war propaganda to show strength, aggression, and that kind of forward-thinking kind of vibe. So it all kind of started off as look how tough we are and look how strong we are kind of vibe. So some of the early examples of mecha in anime, or, well, mecha in media, can be found in propaganda, which was the product of Japan's attempt to show military might as a country fought against Allied forces, especially the United States. So because of all this kind of war going on, and during that entire period of history, it was all so heavily focused on propaganda. And a lot of the propaganda that we saw, not only in Japan but in the West, was all illustrations. That was the kind of graphic style that all kind of went, kind of everyone kind of went with, every army kind of went with, every government kind of went with, you know, the illustration of the woman with the arm, with the bandana. That's one of the most popular pieces of, not only propaganda, but the most popular piece of artwork ever. So that kind of vibe carried on throughout all nations. So this mecha illustrator kind of vibe suited that down to a T. So the earliest publication that follows this kind of mecha archetype that we kind of know of actually comes from the 1940s, from a manga called Denki Doko, which is translated to Electric Octopus. And this story follows a boy who pilots an octopus shaped kind of mecha robot. So imagine a mecha robot from Evangelion and have it shaped like a robot. It's that kind of vibe. It's shaped like an octopus. It's that kind of vibe. But in the 1950s, after the kind of immediate post-war period through the 1950s, this was marked by an intense economic recovery. After all that war, every kind of country, including Japan, has that kind of moment where they kind of need to re-stabilize and kind of recover from the war. You know, war's not easy to come back from, obviously, so there was a big push on trying to come back from all of this. But one significant post-war mecha piece of work was known as, and I will butcher this, so I'm apologies for that one, Genshiryokuro, something like that. Oh, there's a second bit. Genshiryoko Jinzonjen. But this appeared in 1948 and was created by Kumazichi. And this was done as a pseudonym. And a lot of the time, a lot of works in fiction were all pseudonyms. And this was like a really popular way to either get ahead of the game and get publicized or published in general. And it's really common. I don't know if it's as common nowadays. Maybe it is. But I'm not sure. And I feel like most people now want to be famous and just kind of want their name everywhere. So maybe it's not so popular now. But this particular work presents one of the early examples of exploration of nuclear weapons in Japanese fiction. And following that kind of, we've seen it before, especially in video games, that kind of 1950s vibe of nuclear energy and it being super clean and it propelling us into like flying cars and, you know, pneumatic tubes and everything like that. It's that kind of vibe. And this was the first time we saw it in Japanese fiction. But one of the early examples of mecha in kind of anime and this kind of media was in 1956 with Tetsujin 28-Go. And this series centers on the adventures of a young boy named Shotaro Kaneda, who controls a giant robot named Tetsujin 28. And the anime series wasn't made until 2004, but it was known as Gigantor in the West. So many people might have watched Gigantor way back when and not actually realised the root media for that is actually Chijitsin. Again, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering that. But that's interesting that that kind of link. I do have questions as to why it took until 2004 for that manga to actually be made into an anime. But It looked really interesting. It looks kind of, it does give an Astro Boy kind of vibe. So you can kind of see the link between the styling of the media around this kind of time. But with the media in the 1970s, it had an absolute boom. The mecha genre really went from strength to strength and found its true popularity in the 70s and the 80s. And I feel like that's the same for a lot of media. A lot of media such as anime, manga, animation really started to try and find their feet in the 50s and 60s and truly knew what they were doing, what the game was in the 70s and the 80s. But one of the headline and kind of first, there's kind of contention between which one was the truly first one, but one of the headline mecha anime was Mazinga Z, and it was created by manga artist Go Nagai in 1972, so fairly early on in the 70s. And it was the first anime series to feature a giant robot piloted by a human being, and it laid the groundwork for future mecha anime series. So that before the robots were kind of controlled by themselves, I guess, or kind of just worked individually, independently. But this one was the first one that kind of had it piloted by a human being, giving that kind of Evangelion kind of vibe and that kind of idea. But in 1974, Getter Robo introduced the idea of transforming robots.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And this was his concept that we're obviously all familiar with. Transformers is the most popular franchise for that kind of transforming mecha vibe. But in this anime, three pilots fly jets called Eagle, Bear, and Jaguar. And the Getter allows their... The Getter alloys they're made out of allow them to form into three different types of mecha combinations depending on current needs. So think Transformers, but with actual robots, not machines. So that kind of vibe. It's interesting when you kind of see these different links between Western media, such as Transformers and... What's it called? Transformers and Thunderbirds. And having that kind of link between the different Japanese manga and anime that we've seen way back early in the 70s. But AstroZenger Z was the first super robot anime in colour, and this was also in 1972. And AstroZenger is a robot made with living metal in the media, and it's also sentient. So it talks, thinks, and feels pain. This one really puts me about a little bit, makes me feel a little bit weird. I never really thought about the robots in the anime that I'm watching, especially now, Neon Genesis, as them having feelings or feel pain or anything like that. So that's really interesting. And this one, I'm interested in this one's story because of how does that kind of work? Because you've not only got the humans' emotions and feelings, you've also got the robots themselves as well, which feels a very alien concept for the machines themselves to have emotions, thinks, and its own feelings. So really interesting twist on the genre there. But in 1975, the genre had an anime with a different take altogether with Brave Raiden to have mechanical based on myth instead of science. So the robots in this anime came from another world, and it kind of resurfaced after the Demon Empire awakened to conquer Earth, and it also revealed that Raiden transformed into a rocket ship when required. So this one kind of merged these. Raiden kind of took the vibe of this thinking sentient robot from 1972 in Astro Ganga or Astro Ganga. You get what I'm saying? That one. It took the thoughts, feelings, and pains of the robot from that anime and took the Thunderbird style Get a Robo idea. And it kind of merged the two and made it into this kind of alien vibe of a robot that is ancient and follows a more of a lore and a myth to it, rather than this, here's this man-made robot, go and fight this big thing. It kind of followed a different vibe. And this one, to me, feels a little bit more interesting. It feels like it's got a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of lore there. There's a lot of history behind it. And it focuses more on that kind of vibe, rather than these super high-tech scientific vibe of Evangelion or Gundam. But one of the most iconic and popular mecha anime series ever made is Mobile Suit Gundam. And this one released in 1979 by Yoshiyuki Domino. And the anime chose to not only focus on the fights of the robots, because that's obviously a giant theme in this kind of anime, but it also focuses on the societal and psychological effects of the war that is present in all of this anime, manga, and general media that follow this kind of vibe. So it focuses more on the actual after effects and the people that are operating these machines, or that's going under these tasks and living in this super kind of conflicted world. And that one was super interesting. Most of the anime before it seemed to have followed this kind of vibe of weekly fights. This week it's going to be this bad guy, this big thing. We need the robot to go and fight this. It kind of followed a different tact, and I think that really helped it become as popular as it is and made it a complete household name way back in the 70s, and it still is today. But in the 1980s, 1979, 1980s early vibe, in the 1980s, Neon Genesis Evangelion was created, and the genre seemed to go from absolute strength to strength. So similar to Gundam, Evangelion focuses more on the youth that's actually piloting the EVAs and their own turmoil of actually what they're going through, what they're handling, what situations they've been put in, and actually the three pilots of their own personalities and how they're affecting the EVAs and vice versa, and how they're kind of navigating being these pilots in these, fighting these giant alien robot kind of things, and actually still going to school and having a normal life as well. So it kind of focuses more on that kind of vibe. But in the 1980s, two other anime that kind of really set the stage for mecha was Pat LeBow and Macross as well. So these were two that really, really helped set the stage. And the 1980s, similar to what we saw in the 70s, the 1980s really, really saw this genre of anime really, really go from strength to strength, and many more have come after them, but I don't think any have really hit the popularity streak such as Mobile Suit Gundam and Neon Genesis Evangelion. And I think nowadays, I think there is a bit of a nostalgic boost for them. Like I mentioned at the very first start of this episode, there's a gorgeous quality to Evangelion that's got that nostalgic feel to it. And I think if Neon Genesis Evangelion got a remake today, also that would be amazing. Let's hope that's a thing, but part of me also doesn't want it, because I think there's this idea of looking back, and I don't say to a simpler time, that's really not right, but I think there's a quality to an anime that came from the 80s because it's got a different sentiment to it, it's got a different focus on it. And nowadays, yes, we could make an anime that's got this super high quality animation, and the fight scenes could be ridiculously amazing, but I think the simplicity in some of the early anime from the 70s, 80s, early 90s, there's a quality to them that we couldn't recreate today, or if we tried, it just wouldn't be the same. There's this quality of a focus on more on the pacing and the story itself rather than these flashy fights. And I think that is partly why, if I'm honest, the Transformer media and that Transformers brand vibe isn't for me. The films are too long and they focus way too much on these fights rather than the actual story itself. And I don't want a remake of Evangelion or any other kind of, not a remake, but any other mecha anime. I'm scared that that's what the focus will be. The focus on just these pure fights. Where I'm more interested about the pilots themselves and the turmoil that's going on and the world and the lore and why what's going on is happening and what's going on in the background, what evil guy is doing something in the background, that kind of vibe. I'm more interested in the story rather than the fights. I think that's a careful line that Neon Genesis Evangelion, I can't speak for Mobile Suit Gundam because it is on the bucket list, but I've not watched it yet. So apologies that this is very Evangelion based for an episode, but I think that is, it's that quality of balance and being able to make sure that the story shows these fights, it has these action moments and these, you know, these really intense kind of moments, but it has this focus on the human side of the robots and the natural side of piloting these giant, giant machines fighting big things. But the actual media has, in its history, it's gone through quite a big change, and I think it's an interesting genre because it's not, it's gone through these kind of evolutions, so to speak, of having these more simplistic robot designs to where we end up at Transformer level and Evangelion level, where they're quite stylized and they're quite intricate in how they're designed and created. But then we have all these different steps where it actually started out as war propaganda, and that's interesting. I find that really interesting that the media that started out with war propaganda nowadays is more famous for being known as an anime series, not known for its particular for its fights, but the one that's really popular for pop culture nowadays is actually known for focusing on the human elements of the mecha series, not the actual mecha themselves. I think that's fascinating. I think that's really interesting. But enough of a rant. I kind of want to dive into the popular mecha series that we should all be checking out. Obviously, some we've already mentioned, but there are some new ones on there. Or, well, not new. There are some ones on there that we haven't spoke about. So that's what I kind of mean. They're not being mentioned yet. So let's dive into some popular mecha anime series and manga series that you should definitely check out if you're wanting to kind of dive into the mecha genre a little bit more, a little bit like me. Maybe you've started some of these series like Evangelion and you're interested in which other ones you should be watching as well. So let's dive into the popular anime series for the mecha genre. If you're like me, you love to dive into some tasty treats or savory treats while watching your favorite anime. Now with Boxu, you can travel through Japan through flavors with 20 to 22 savory, sweet and more snacks to enjoy every single month with a unique theme. For your first box, upon subscribing, you get the Seasons of Japan box, where each snack comes from a certain prefecture in Japan and covers a themed season such as autumn, spring and more. Enjoy sweet, savory, citrusy and more flavors with Boxu's curated collection of snacks every single month. After your first box, which is the Seasons of Japan box, you'll enjoy a unique themed curated box every month with snacks that match the month's theme for the box. Enjoy your first box with Boxu using my link down in the bio and the show description, and enjoy a world of flavors and explore Japan through taste with Boxu. So the first popular anime series for the mecha genre is one that's obviously a household name. We've mentioned it a couple of times in this episode, and it is Mobile Suit Gundam. And this series is a flagship for the mecha anime series genre and has been around for over 4 decades. And it just goes from strength to strength, and it's had multiple spin-offs, multiple sequels, movies, and there's a huge amount of franchise media, like goodies, figures, that kind of thing for it. And it's become that way for a reason. It is so popular and absolutely beloved. But this one is known for its complex plot, realistic robots, and its political themes as well. So this one, again, similar to Evangelion, it focuses on the world around it and the impact that these moments of these robots has on the world around it. So this one, I think, if I'm honest, this one was one of the ones at first glance I didn't think I knew of. I didn't want to dive into it. But after watching 14, nearly 15 episodes of Evangelion, and now that I've been proven wrong about the mecha genre of anime, I am intrigued and I do want to dive into it. Mobile Suit Gundam is one that is on this list, and I know that it's huge. I know that there's so much to watch. I know there's a lot of films, a lot of spin-offs, a lot of sequels, and a lot of anime series. So it is one that I need to really block out the time to watch. So definitely give this one a watch. This is like your big headline one to watch. If you Google mecha, this is exactly what will come up. And, you know, definitely check this one out. This is definitely on my list to check out at some point. But the next one on the list is Neon Genesis Evangelion. Again, I won't go too much into this one because I spoke about it a lot in this episode. But this series is a deconstruction of the mecha genre and explores the psychological struggles of its main characters, so the three pilots of the Avas, and it's known for this heavy use of symbolism and a controversial ending. I'm not going to lie, I don't know what the controversial ending is because I've not finished it. So as soon as I finish it, maybe then I'll know, or maybe after I do a little bit of a research, then I'll know why it's controversial. So I can't speak for that, if I'm absolutely honest. You know, I'm going to be absolutely transparent on this podcast. I don't know what that is. But definitely check this one out. I can speak from watching 14 episodes of this one. It's spectacular. So definitely. If there's one that you check out on this list, please let it be this one, because wow, it is great. The next one is also on my list to watch is Code Geass. And this series is a combination of the mecha anime and a political drama. So an interesting mix there. And similar to Mobile Suit Gundam and Evangelion there, with the kind of mix of themes. But it follows the story of Lelouch, a young man who gains the power to control people's minds and uses it to overthrow a powerful empire. This one is the one that intrigues me the most on this list, because of so many people have kind of recommended this one to me. So this one piques my interest the most. So definitely do check this one out. Again, this one is on my bucket list, so at some point I will watch this one as well. But the next one has quite a long name. So this one is Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann. This one is known for its over-the-top action, incredible animation, and positive message of never giving up, which is always a great message to have. It follows the story of Simon, a young man who pilots a giant robot to fight against an evil empire. This one, to me, sounds a little bit generic. This is what I kind of meant at the very beginning, where this, my immediate reaction to the mecha genre is this big fights, low story. And this one, because of how it reads, feels like that. It isn't. It probably isn't. Let's be honest. This will be beloved by an anime community somewhere. I've never heard of it, and the direction, the kind of description for this one doesn't give me a great level of detail, but it's on this list as ones that are super, super popular. So it's on this list for a reason. So, you know, check it out. The last one is Full Metal Panic, and this series combines a mecha anime with a comedy and a romance, which this one really does pique my interest as well because of the mix of themes. And I love an anime where we get to enjoy it with a bit of comedy as well. Like, Evangelion has little moments of comedy, which is nice, but anime series such as Mob Psycho, One Punch Man, even Demon Slayer nowadays, that has this super, like, comedy underlined to it, I think really, really works well, and it makes it so enjoyable. And it follows the story of Sasuke Sagura, a teenage soldier sent to protect a high school student who becomes entangled in a complex web of relationships and intrigue. So again, this one, it doesn't tell you a lot about the mecha at all, even in the description. It just kind of focuses on the story of a high school student that's in a complex web of intrigue and relationships. This one really does pique me. I don't know if it's wrong that it piques me because of the comedy aspect. I don't know what that really says about me. Maybe I love comedy anime more than what I thought I did. But this one is one that I'd say, I think if I'm going to put them in an order, I think definitely check out Evangelion, definitely check out Gundam, Code Geass, Full Metal Panic, and then the last one that I can't say, the Tengen one. Definitely do check these ones out. I think there's a huge list of anime to definitely check out, and it's one that I think will only continue to go from strength to strength, especially as the world kind of evolves itself and kind of gets more technologically focused. And as we advance technologically in the real world, I think we'll start seeing more anime like this, but in a different kind of vibe, a different kind of way. So definitely do check these anime series out. So it has been a little bit of a while since I've done a History Of session on the podcast, and I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed having a little bit of a read up, having a little bit of a browse of why anime series are so popular, why did it start, when did it start. And I think this one's got one of the most interesting stories of why the genre began in the first place. And I find it really interesting that this whole genre owes its reputation and owes its kind of conception to actually the war, and having that really historical link of World War II and showing might and war propaganda and having this vibe of strength. And I find it interesting that the genre has started to morph over the years, especially in the 80s and 70s, to a genre that focuses more on the turmoil and the political aspects and societal impacts that the robots that have this might actually create in the aftermath. I think that's really, really interesting. There's something really poetic there. There's something really deep there somewhere. And I think that's really, really interesting. And I like the fact that I've been proven wrong with Neon Genesis Evangelion. I know that it's popular. And I've seen, before I've kind of started watching it, I did know of it. And I've seen all the photos of it and seen the screenshots. And I thought, oh my God, that looks so nice. But never knew of the story. And I love that I've been proven wrong again. And definitely do check out Neon Genesis Evangelion. But I hope you enjoyed. I hope you've actually learned something. I always think it's nice to kind of take a moment to, I don't say give thanks, that sounds really dramatic, kind of take a moment to acknowledge where anime that we love and anime that became a household name, why it did and how it found its start. Like this one with the war theme is super interesting, and I did not know that that's where it kind of had its start. And it kind of gives the whole genre a different kind of vibe to it a little bit. You kind of know that when you're watching Gundam or Evangelion or Code Geass, whatever, you'll kind of know where this had its roots and who inspired who, what anime series inspired what media to then give birth to this genre that you're enjoying, this anime series that you're enjoying. So I think it's interesting. But if you have enjoyed this episode, there are some audio-only episodes of the history of manga and the history of anime in the podcast library as well. So no matter what platform you're on, if you want to kind of continue that history of vibe, do go check those out. Be sure to like and subscribe. They are free to do and they support the show in ways you would not imagine. And they're amazing ways to make sure you don't miss another episode. There are episodes every single week, every single Friday without fail. So definitely do check that out. Follow me on TikTok, Instagram, Threads, all that good stuff to make sure you see a lot more anime content. It's not just reposts of this kind of stuff. There's unboxings, Funko Pop stuff, and everything else. There's links to my Etsy shop and everything on there as well as in the show notes. So if you want to treat yourself to some anime pins, get yourself a anime themed birthday card for a friend, all that good stuff, get yourself a Boxu Japanese treat box, definitely do check out my links down in the show notes to treat yourself this Good Friday. Oh no, that sounded like Good Friday. This Friday, treat yourself, and why not? Enjoy your week of anime viewing. I hope to make much more progress on my bucket list. I'm turning 30 this weekend, this Saturday. So, scary. That's a little bit scary, but enjoy. Have a fabulous weekend and happy viewing. Thank you very much, guys.